It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
Why do you act like I'm the biggest goon you've ever met in your life?
I've just never heard of that before.
Sponsorship because
you guys think, what do you think I'm getting? 8 burgers and 8 sets of fries?
Some of the food stays in the trunk.
He's a 3-day-old burger from the trunk.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
I'll always say, come see, come stop, and go my way, come see, come stop.
That's a pretty good tune. Since you are gone, this is Paul Anka. Paul's a Canadian legend.
This guy did some work in his day.
Oh, Paul was like the original Sinatra. Or maybe I have that reverse, but good Canadian boy, wasn't he?
Come see, come saw is the song.
Born and raised in Ottawa. He's still kicking at 76, born in 41. But yeah, I guess he was kind of after Sinatra, but the Canadian Sinatra, Paul Anka.
That I just looked it up. I don't know why. When you Google, sometimes people's net worth come up.
How much is he worth?
$60 million.
$60 million, and this is one of his tunes.
Yeah,
like, listen to this track.
This guy's got the voice of
the voice of an angel. He's got some pipes. But
I meant to bring this up. Did you see Ann Murray's tweet the other day?
Back on the Leafs bandwagon.
He's back on the Leafs wagon.
We should try to get her back on.
You think so?
She doesn't let go, but maybe we can find a way.
She basically hung up on me.
Wow.
When I asked her to sing the Grit Grinder song.
Well, she's
no,
got a
Christmas
reputation.
Song. 12 packs of darts.
She's a woman of integrity. I don't blame her.
Exactly.
She's the Canadian songbird. The voice of an angel, Anne Murray.
We still have that song? I want to hear it again.
Yeah, we'll circle back on that. But the reason we played this for a new audience, we're up on TSN 2, TSN 1050, the TSN Go app. Always going to Montreal on Saturday, and you mispronounced a word, and some guy really took issue with that. And I don't know how we came up with come see, come saw, but it's like our favorite
saying.
We
don't speak French, yes.
It's the go-to saying for Anglophones that don't know any French.
Yeah, like, what do you think of the game? Come see, come saw. How are you? Come see, come saw.
No, it's okay.
It's because it's got a ring to it, and it sounds like you know what you're talking about, like a full French.
It sounds really French.
Yeah. We got to get Randy saying just okay, and then come see, come saw.
I would love that. A mashup.
Yeah.
A mashup of Randy and Paul Anka. How do you think Reimer played tonight?
Come see, come saw.
He was just okay.
Come see, come saw. Come see, come saw. So we'll morph this into a bit. We'll get Bobby Mack in studio later in the hour. See if he can maybe suggest something.
Maybe Bobby Mack speaks French and we don't know it. Why don't we just ask him and be like, in French, how are you doing today? See if he says, come see, come saw. Because if that could be his go-to.
I'll bet you he does, but that will be outing
you
for not knowing French.
You have to say, bonjour, Roberto. Comment ça va?
Okay.
And see what he says.
All right, we'll throw it at him. We'll see if he's prepared for that. So he'll be in here in about 20 minutes.
If he's in a bad mood, he will tell you to F.
I'm worried about that because, like, the first question you ask him really sets the tone for the whole interview.
Yeah, Bob. And if he is miserable, he will literally say F off and walk out of here.
Yeah, he'll just get up and walk out.
It'd kind of be worth it.
Like you,
it would kind of be worth it.
Like, all the interviews you've done, you've only hit a wall a couple times. Berkey comes to mind where you asked him.
I was trying to get too cute with that. I was asking him if
he'd ever seen the Blue Man Group.
No, no, no. It was the magician, David Copperfield.
It was Copperfield in Vegas.
And have you ever seen Copperfield in Vegas?
Hard no.
Just a no guy.
Hard no. And not even
like
a sliver of rope for me to try to
you have
save myself.
Let's hear that.
Have you ever seen David Copperfield in action in Vegas?
No.
Okay. Do you think Bobby Mack would pull that off if I said to him, you know, welcome aboard, how are you doing in French?
Yeah. No,
Bonjour, Roberto. Comment ça va?
Comment ça va? Okay. I'll do it.
See how that goes.
We'll see what he says. There's a chance there will be a walk-off.
Yeah,
there could be a walk-off.
Could have our first walk-off of the season.
Bobby Mack may just decide I'm out of here. Leafs coming off their only loss of the season. I was about to say the worst loss, but I guess technically it is.
But it's their only loss.
The only loss can also be classified as their worst loss. But if it's your only loss, it could also be your best loss because you could define it any which way you want. Jersey, they're a good young team. They got skill. I don't know what it's going to mean for them long-term, but I think... it says something about the fan base that there's still a little bit of uneasiness, which is understandable. I mean, it's been decades of tough times, and that can mess with the fans' psychology, but they've played well for the majority of four games. They're a 3-1. You'll take that every day of the week.
Yep.
They didn't play that well last night. Freddie Anderson, now people are talking about his save percentage through four games. Jake Gardner had a poor game. A couple of other young defensemen had a poor game. It happens.
It does.
The one thing Mike Babcock doesn't really do, and he's, okay, you know, we give him props all the time. Great hockey coach, one of the best in the game, but there's never like a switch up.
Like during
the game? Try to change the momentum. Like Matthews, Marner, and JVR, you're out next because you guys all suck tonight and I can't watch you together. They're same lines. Marlowe might go out there because of penalty killing situations, but you know when the, like it's going bad, the coach will just do like
the blender. Joel Quenneville puts the blender out.
And you just say, can you mix it up a little bit to try to create a spark?
But I saw Babs. I thought I saw Matthews either double shifted on the fourth line yesterday.
He moved around a little
he did
bit.
Move him around,
I wouldn't
but
even
not.
Have cared if Freddie Anderson sat on the bench for the second or third period. It's like to just change it up a little bit instead of just saying,
yeah. I think that's the way he goes about business, though. He always says that every day he talks about it. If you do the right things and you keep doing them, it'll work for you. I feel like there's something about that consistency. He's trying to send them a message. Like, I still believe that if we do the right things, and I did the right thing because this is the lineup I put forth.
Right.
You guys go out there and perform. But there's something to finding a way to get Matthews more ice time. Dregs was on the lunch today, and he was throwing out the idea of him penalty killing. Babcock has never had his top three centers penalty kill. Bozak doesn't do it. Kadri doesn't do it. Matthews doesn't do it. I don't think that's going to change. But considering the landscape of the NHL right now, there are so many penalties every night for both teams. You cannot have games like this where Matthews is leaving a building only playing 15 minutes.
That's
you have to find him more time.
You want him blocking a shot and breaking his hand?
I'm not saying penalty kill. I'm saying when it is 5-on-5, double shift them.
Yeah, move him
around. You've got to get this guy 18, 19 minutes a night.
Oh, for sure.
You have to.
Yep.
And, again, I understand Babcock. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. Over the course of the season, you have to play your fourth line. You've got to get your guys minutes. You've got to turn over the bench. But I do think that is one area where he can expand his approach, because if this is the way it's going to be, where there's all these penalties, you've got to find a way to get him minutes.
Yeah.
He's got to play. He's too good.
You're right, and he will. If it specifically is a game where there isn't a lot of flow to it, and they've had a parade to the penalty box, and you've had your killers out there, it's Matthews, and then you come back with Matthews' line, you know, within one in the rotation. That's where the third or fourth line just gets pushed out the window.
Which is fine.
You have to do that.
They're killing penalties. Brown and Moore kill penalties.
You're right. They're going to get their ice time. But guaranteed, the first thing coaches do, if they're not doing it on the bench, after a period, they get the timesheets. And just to, because they'll track it in their mind, but they'll put it onto paper to see where it's at. And they'll make sure that guy is... It gets to 18, 19, but it's...
Well, last night Matthews played 15 minutes and 48 seconds.
Yep.
That's but not enough. Like, Kadri doesn't kill penalties either. Nazem Kadri played 17.
I think it's a game last night where they thought maybe near the end he's like, you know, to hell with this, we're not in this, and maybe just roll guys farther down.
Potentially, but it happened opening night too, remember?
Yep.
Like, again, all those penalties, which... You can't go into a game expecting 8 penalties.
No.
That is going to throw your minutes out of whack and your rotation out of whack. But Connor Brown opening night played more than any other forward on the team. It was all good because they won the game.
Correct.
But last night, Connor Brown again played more than Austin Matthews. And I'm a Connor Brown fan, but let's be honest, Austin Matthews should...
Yeah, he should
be playing more minutes than Connor Brown.
He should be the number one
every single night.
Forward.
You know, there's going to be discrepancies. You play a hot hand. If Kadri's having a great night, throw him back over, Bozak, et cetera. But on an average night, there's no reason why Austin Matthews isn't playing 18-plus.
Nope, you're
he
right.
He can do it. He can get away with it.
Young legs.
He won't be worn down.
You're right. There's no reason.
We'll see what Bobby Mack has to say about that. So the NFL, has been a soap opera through 5 weeks. Week six beginning tonight on TSN and on TSN 1050. Eagles at Panthers. Should be a great game. Both teams 4-1. We had Michael Lombardi join us in the previous hour.
Right.
And he made the point that a lot of us have acknowledged, you know, the majority of the storylines are being created off the field of play.
Mm-hmm.
With the anthem talk and with the viral videos.
Injuries, statements.
And here's another one. Roger Goodell's wife has been outed. She's pulled a Kevin Durant. She had a dummy Twitter account, and she's been defending him on Twitter and taking runs at media members. And somehow...
How'd she get caught? That's what I'm curious.
I don't know. I read this story quickly in the break. This is just recently breaking, and it's starting to blow up on Twitter. Because you know someone's emailing Roger right now, being like, okay.
Heads up. This is coming.
I'd like a statement out of you, please. What do you make of this? Mrs. Goodell going to war. Now, by all accounts, she didn't say anything preposterous or anything...
Out of control.
Yeah, out of control, but it was clearly defensive, which I can understand. It's his wife.
Right.
But, you know, remember when Steph Curry's wife was tweeting and Kaepernick's girlfriend has been tweeting. There have been a number of wives and girlfriends and brothers and sisters that have tweeted things out that have caused a storm. And this is different because it's Goodell, because it's the commissioner, and he takes a heat. He takes heat every single day to begin with.
Exactly.
Now this is another story he's got to deal with because his wife has some anonymous Twitter account.
What was her fake name, and what are some of the tweets?
Joan Smith is her name.
Jones Smith and at Four Argument.
Four
Argument. It has recently been deleted, but she issued a statement. Someone went Inspector Gadget on this and started connecting the dots and was like, okay, this is weird. Like, who is this Twitter account who's constantly defending Goodell? Nobody defends Goodell.
Right.
Why is this person always all over these people? And I guess the newspaper, I can't remember which paper it was. I think it was the Wall Street Journal, issued this statement via Roger Goodell's wife. Quote, it was a really silly thing to do and done out of frustration and love. As a former media member, I didn't realize she used to be in the media, but I guess so. As a former media member, I'm always bothered when the coverage doesn't provide a complete and accurate picture of a story. Who's that sound like? Fake news.
Yeah.
I'm also a wife and a mom. I've always passionately defended the hardworking guy I love, and I always will. I just may not use Twitter to do so in the future, end quote.
What would you have to say to your lovely wife if she pulled this and started defending you and it came out that she had a fake account?
Smarten up.
Yeah, it would be a scenario where it would be difficult to handle.
Would that be your pomegranate move?
No. I don't think I'd freak out like the pomegranate woman.
Pomegranates!
I wouldn't go on a rant like
that. Checking the Overdrive Twitter account for Gary Bettman's wife
on Wednesdays.
Mrs.
Geraldine?
Geraldine Bettman on Wednesday? You're
just
right.
Just because, I mean, think about it.
You're right.
You guys are hacks or, you know, whatever.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I think my initial reaction would be, oh, this is bad. This is embarrassing. I'm not going to hear the end of this, but I'd like to believe, easy for me to say, I'd step off and say, I understand where you're coming from.
Right.
Like, I understand, I wish you didn't do it, but I understand this has to be really difficult. Like, Roger Goodell is a human pinata.
Yeah.
He is hated by everybody.
And he makes $44 million a year.
Yeah, I don't think he's too
44?
Right, but that doesn't mean... Like, you guys were in the pros. You made a lot of money. You've said this. Your parents didn't like hearing people chirp you. Your mom didn't go to games because you made money.
You're right.
You know, like, it's... The money doesn't change the fact that it's...
Yeah, her husband, the emotional part.
Yeah, I mean, that's difficult for families to deal with. I'm sure it would be. I can understand
especially
that.
How harsh things are today. If you look at the evolution of Twitter, people have become very, very harsh, probably in the last couple years.
Well, it's easy to do so anonymously.
Right.
You can create a dummy account, ironically, and like take runs at people.
I blocked a dope yesterday who literally had one follower. So you knew it was a guy who had probably had blocked before and started another account. And
just to take a run at you.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, you move on. Like, it is, as the person, you move on, but you're right. The family, it could affect. The wife, it's probably affecting. And it's unfortunate because I don't mind that she comes out, owns it, and says, listen, this is what I did. Like, you disarm people with the truth. But it's her right. It's just you didn't want her to be Mrs. Goodell and firing away.
But I guess in retrospect, maybe you kind of do. Like, if she was...
If she was
responding
Betty
respectfully,
Goodell or whatever her name is, yeah,
you know, which again, same. Looking at some of the tweets, it looks like it was. There was a piece posted about I don't even know how this pertained to Goodell, but anyway, she wrote Goodell is courageous and was right in the end. Leadership is hard. The commission is doing the same. Give him credit. That's not like screw you. You're a loser. Lose your job. I hate you. Right. That's not Twitter troll.
But do you think she went to him and said, "I got this fake account"? Or no?
That's an interesting question.
Yeah, I don't.
Was all Raj privy to it?
I doubt it.
I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked.
You would almost have to when your husband makes $44 million in a power position like that. Wouldn't you think that she would say, "Look, I'm creating an account and I'm going to float a couple of these out there"?
How would you react if your wife said to you, "Hey, I'm going to do this. I can't take it anymore"?
I would say absolutely not.
Yeah,
I don't like...
Not worth it.
I love having the idea of like an athlete or somebody having a support system or what, but that is none of your business. When people start going off about their husband's career and why you're doing this and why you're doing that, you're causing a major disturbance.
Yeah, I agree.
All right.
That's my view on that whole thing.
Bob McKenzie will be in studio. What am I going to start this with? Bonjour, Roberto.
Bonjour, Roberto. Comment ça va?
Okay, and we'll see if he sticks around. Maybe he'll leave.
He could leave.
He might. If he's not in the mood, he'll be out of here.
Bonjour, Roberto. Comment ça va?
Okay.
He's going to dust us.
I got a bad feeling. I just sense it. It's a Thursday. Sure. The weather's bad. He's not in the mood.
He's done.
Stick around to see if Bobby sticks around. We'll Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on TSN 2. Thursday night or tonight. Panthers at home to the Eagles. Eagles get 3.5. We'll get to our best bets later in the hour. You can hear the game right here on TSN 1050. Watch it on TSN.
I don't want to frighten you, but one of my friends just sent me a text saying, "I hope Hayes gets his knee surgery right." And it's a video of a surgeon doing axe chops to get an instrument out of a guy's knee. So
why would you tell me that?
I'm just...
Yeah, what's the latest? Getting scoped?
I'm getting tomorrow. Holyfield tomorrow.
Nice. By the way...
Bucket handle. Yeah. I have to begin. We have to be serious here for a minute. Bonjour, Robert. Comment ça va?
May we.
Oh. May we? That's not even...
I don't even know if that works.
Comment ça va is how are you,
How are you?
Yeah.
Très bien, et vous?
Okay.
Oh.
See, you know French, Bob?
Je parle un peu, but il est mauvais. Yeah.
That's about it.
We're going to do a new segment called Come See, Come Saw.
Come See, Come Saw.
Because that's the go-to when you don't know French. You're like, how are you? You're like, nah, Come See, Come Saw.
We were taking bets on what you would say.
With the hand movement.
Yeah. We thought you'd drop a Come See, Come Saw.
And I warned him. I said, if he's in a bad mood, he will walk out of this place and tell you.
Never in a bad mood.
Yeah, getting the surgery tomorrow, Bob. You called it the bucket handle. Yeah, bucket handle. So I'm basically Steven Stamkos.
He had a really bad one, though. Yours is probably...
I hope so.
I'm just going to trim it up.
I just stood up.
Yeah, so where are you getting that?
Trim it up.
St. Mike's.
Nice.
Yeah, I'll be a good Catholic boy down there making things happen. I'm saying my prayers tonight. First time in a long time.
When are you going under?
Early afternoon. Like, but I won't be here tomorrow.
One-ish?
12:45.
Because I live a couple blocks away, I can bring you... cold beers, chips, dips, pizza, whatever you want.
Pizza.
Okay. I'll
send
you a
note.
Some
peels in there.
Oh, you'll be home. He's going, you don't have to stay over. So.
No, I'm going home.
Oh,
I'm
you're going?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sticking around all
night. It's in an outer.
Yeah,
it's a day surgery.
You're talking to a guy who's been down this road before. Bob knows what's up.
Yeah.
In and out.
In and out.
So I'll be doing that.
Good luck.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You'll be fine.
What'd you take out of that Leaf game last night, Bob?
The Leaf game last night, I didn't see a lot of it. I was at NBC, and we had the Washington-Pittsburgh game. So I was watching that, and then once my work's done there, I go back to the hotel. So I was trying to watch it on my NHL package on my iPad, but because there's a national game in the U.S. that night, it was blacked out.
Sure.
So I just watched highlights. And from what I understand, in spite of the fact that the Leafs generated a lot of numbers, they really weren't very good.
No, they didn't play that well.
And the tender wasn't too good.
Yeah, Freddie, all of a sudden, the focus is on Freddie's save percentage.
Yeah, Freddie's save percentage is an issue now.
Yeah, we're back. This is deja vu again.
It's awesome.
You know? I mean, but they're 3-1. They're 3-1. I think they played well for the most part. Last night, they didn't play great.
And what it was a great game. It was great for them to lose because Mike Babcock now doesn't have to have fake outrage about how they played. He's now got, you guys lost, and you lost because you didn't compete hard enough, and the attention to detail wasn't there, and all the things he said after the game. But maybe the guys will listen to him more than if they win by 6 goals. I didn't like some of the things I was seeing out there. They're like, yeah, okay.
Whatever. Take a lap. We're 4-0.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because you know you're getting an inspired group in Montreal on Saturday night. They will be inspired.
Well, they're a little desperate early on, too.
Have to be.
Yeah,
that's what we were talking about. But the Canadians, it almost seems like it's a must win. And it's what, you're 4 games in? And just because of the temperature of the media, the fan base there, they waived Mark Straight today. I don't know if that puts anybody else into the mix. Somebody's injured. I'm drawing a blank. He was on waivers.
Schlemko.
I don't know if he would be in the mix now, but...
Yeah, they haven't had Schlemko at all. Like he wasn't a factor in training camp, and he hasn't played yet. And they expected him to be a good player for them.
Yeah.
So, but it's one of the organizations, one of the teams that could least afford the kind of start that they've had.
Yeah.
They had a bad training camp, and the regular season's off to a bad start, and they reconstructed their whole defense, and it's Claude Julien's first full year, and there's questions about their center ice position. There's questions whether they can score goals, and the early returns aren't good.
Right.
So. We were talking about all the penalties league-wide, and the way I see it, there are 3 options. This just continues because the refs keep calling it this way and the players never change, is one option. The other option is the refs decide to lay off a little bit and they revert to where they've been in years past. Or the third option is the players finally figure it out, so it stops because they don't keep swinging their sticks. Which option do you think is most likely?
I think with the slash, they're going to keep it up for a while. We used some numbers tonight on insider trading. So get this, boys. So we played 50 games so far this season.
Yeah.
So we compared the first 50 games this season to the first 50 last season. Last season, the first 50 games, there were 22 slashing minors. This season so far, 131.
Wow.
Almost a 500% increase in slashing penalties. But here's what's really interesting to me. The total number of power plays through 50 games this year versus last year is only up by less than 20%. So you're up 500% on the slash. You're up less than 20% overall, which tells me that while they're calling all these slashing penalties, they're not calling as many other penalties. And I kind of looked at the breakdown, and what it seems to me is the restraining fouls, hooking, holding, and tripping in particular, those three are way down compared to what they were last year. Now, is that because the refs are so busy calling slashing that they've forgotten about the other stuff or laid off it or they don't care, and other stuff's going, you know, other restraining fouls are going uncalled? Or there are some people who believe because the slash often leads to something else, an unpenalized slash. So you whack the guy a second time. Now he's going by you. So now you whack him on the skates and his feet go up front of you. Oh, that's a tripping penalty. Or you whack him twice, no penalties. And now you hook him or you hold him.
Right.
So that first slashing penalty is preempting these other restraining fouls. Pick it one way or the other, it doesn't matter. But at the end of the day, the most important thing is those numbers are astronomical.
Well, and they kind of wash each other out. It's not like one team can be overly disappointed compared to other teams because more often than not, they both have seven power plays that night.
That's the thing.
It's just, it's too much. It's very difficult to get a rhythm.
We were talking in the previous hour. We're just hoping that the guys get into a rhythm a lot quicker because
I
find the entertainment value is just, it's just a parade. Like you're trying to get into a groove.
But and you know what? It was that way coming out of the locker.
I remember it. I was playing.
And everybody complained and they hung with it for the most part because we got a number of years of really good hockey.
Yeah.
Because of that. Because they paid the price in the post-lockout year in 2005, 2006. They called more penalties than they've ever called in the history of a National Hockey League season.
Yeah.
And everybody liked the result. So, I mean, a year ago, everybody was going on about Crosby Mathot knocking his finger off and Johnny Gaudreau getting hacked and whacked, and people are saying it's ridiculous. And the referees, it's tough for a referee to know what's the difference between a love tap and because Crosby's didn't look like, Crosby on Mathot did not look like a guy that almost lost his finger.
No.
That just looked like a run-of-the-mill. We see it 10 times, 20 times a game. Bam, and let the guy know he's on your hands. And Mathot gets up and his finger's literally dangling as he skated off the ice.
I was 12 feet away from that. Like, it happened right in front of me. I thought Mathot's nail had popped off because he skated by me. It was bleeding. I don't know if I said on the broadcast, I'm like, I think he lost a nail. And then in between periods, you know, you go back.
He lost
and you're
a
walking,
finger.
Lost a finger. Yeah.
Well, we were talking about how this affects the minutes being disputed or distributed, and Austin Matthews last night only played about 15 minutes.
And that was like the Winnipeg game was the same thing.
Right.
I mean,
no, they won big that night. He had three points.
Yeah, they did. He got a goal, but he got the seventh goal.
Right.
Yeah.
And last night he got a meaningless goal
in that 3-point night. But you're right. I mean, that night it was, you know, Connor Brown, Komarov, all the penalty killers.
Eric Fair was playing a ton.
Absolutely.
So when does Babcock change? Do you think he'd start maybe using him in a penalty-killing role?
I think he's a
or double-shifting him 5-on-5?
I think he's a creature
of
habit, and he'll just try to calm the penalties down and get the numbers up. But,
yeah.
I kind of tend to believe that, too, just the way how, you know, he's been so consistent since he's been here. But
and plus, you got to play the long game, too. Things will settle down. And you don't want, you know, you don't want Matthews playing too many minutes now just because at the end of the game he says 15 instead of 18.
Don't you think he can, though? I mean, McDavid, there are games where he plays 21, 22 minutes.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, they spread it around pretty good. And on nights when there's going to be the flip side of that, if the Leafs are disciplined and the other team's not, then
he'll play a lot.
He's going to be through the roof because he's going to play all that power play time.
Bob McKenzie in studio. What do you make of this Bufflin story where he didn't play on Monday, he's not playing tonight, and on an off day he was out fishing and a picture went viral?
Yeah, well, did you see Paul Maurice today? He was pretty funny.
Didn't wrestle it.
They said, about the picture. It's the second day in a row he's had to address it, so you could tell he was getting a little salty today.
Right.
But it was a great exchange because they talk about it, and then somebody said something, and he goes, well, he was just a fish, you know. Someone said, well, it's a big fish, and he goes, well, he didn't have to wrestle it.
Right. He just caught it.
My point on this is, I mean, we went through it on a different level when the Leafs went out fishing last year in Florida, and they Instagrammed their pictures. Was it last year or the year before?
Last year, and they got spanked.
Yes, they got spanked in Florida, and so everybody went nuts because everybody's an expert once they see a picture on social media. Oh, well, they were out fishing, so if they were out fishing, that means they got sunburned and they drank too much, and therefore that's why they lost. No, they probably lost because they lost. It was a day off, and so be it. This one was a little bit different because the two guys in the picture are injured guys and they can't play.
Right.
But I mean, I give NHL players enough credit, like Matt Hendricks, Dustin Bufflin. They're injured. They know they're injured. They don't want to be injured. They want to play. I don't think anybody doubts for a moment that Dustin Bufflin wants to be in the lineup or that Matt Hendricks wants to be in the lineup. They've got a regimen that they must follow in terms of their rehab with trainers and therapists and everything else. And if they want to go out and go fishing and it's not affecting them, in their mind it's not affecting them, then I don't see what the big deal is. To be
the only thing, though, in the Canadian market, when you're not exactly lighting it up at the beginning of the season, you would think they would say, let's go fishing, but you know what?
Don't post the picks. They didn't post the picks, but
the website, the company, the fishing company.
Yeah, but guess what? That's the first thing you say to the guy.
That's the
but
first.
They were smiling take a picture, for I'll it. Bury you in the river.
They were smiling
but,
for it.
But it's a great fish, isn't it?
It's a massive fish.
It doesn't look like a fish. It looks like a dinosaur.
It's a mutant. It's crazy. It's a monster fish.
I started having Jaws flashbacks thinking, because there's sturgeon in my lake, but not like that.
I hope not. I had to fish this summer, and it was 3 hours of torture.
I've never understood the appeal of fishing.
Some people love it. People are obsessed with it.
I love it.
You like it? Yeah. So no booze on the boat. You still like it?
Largemouth bass, yes, love it.
So what do you like? You're in a boat with buddies.
Wait a second, time out. You just said no booze on the boat, and you still love it?
Yeah, it's not about booze. It's about I love fishing for largemouth bass. That's it.
What about ice fishing?
No way.
I've done that before. Ridiculous.
That's just getting drunk on a sheet of ice.
It really is. In a hut, you get a heater
but you're
going.
You're in a hut. Like my old goalie partner, Kiprasov, has an ice fishing cabin.
Of course he does.
North in
Finland.
Yeah, but there's no booze rule for him.
No kidding. And no sun like 22
but
hours
and
a day.
His brother, they go up there apparently.
I've never understood the appeal. When we have more time,
I'll tell you my ice fishing story. The single time I went ice fishing with my son Sean and his minor hockey team. Oh my God! I need more time to tell the story justice. Though.
That sounds like a Bobcast story
like
potentially.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we did it once as a team, and we ordered pizza, and the guy had to bring the wheels out onto the ice.
Drove it out on the ice.
Yeah, but he made it 30 minutes or less.
I don't know.
So why do you have one specific fish? So like trout, you're like no guy on trout?
But no, I grew up close to this private lake that me and my brothers had privilege to go out there and fish. And people go fishing for 5 or 6 hours. They're like, yeah, I caught one. You would literally catch 30 or 40 or 50 in a morning. And it was really fun and you get spoiled.
Sure.
Isn't that kind of defeat the purpose of it?
That's my understanding.
It's supposed to be a challenge?
It's like going hunting and you're at a zoo.
I had to go to this pro fisherman
like derby?
/ NHL derby. You're paired with a pro guy, and they had a big weigh-in. I get called up to weigh in with my pro guy. Zero fish.
You guys didn't catch anything?
No, we had to go on the mic and say, we didn't catch anything today. I was like, come on, dude. Like, you're a pro. You're a pro, and we got nothing.
I'm not pro hunting or anti hunting. Like whatever you want to do is fine. I'm cool with it. I don't hunt or fish, but it amuses me a little bit because I heard the other day I was up at the cottage and I heard people shooting and they were shooting geese or whatever.
Yeah,
and I'm like if you want geese, just come to my cottage. On any day of the summer, because of my next door neighbor who's not there that much, there's generally like 50 geese sitting 30 feet away from me.
Yeah.
Like I could take one out with a brick.
Right.
You don't need a gun.
Or the camo gear.
You can lob an empty bottle of beer.
It's the same thing if you go golfing in Mont Tremblant and people go deer hunting. Well, you're teeing off and you have to wait because the deer are 3 feet in front of you walking across the tee box.
Right. Yeah.
If you want to kill one, you could kill it with a golf club. Not that I'm advocating that.
But. No kidding.
Yeah, it's.
I don't get it either. I've never understood it.
I fished for 3 hours this summer. I think you guys. I posted a picture on my Twitter. I saw that.
You looked really comfortable.
It was awful. And one, I felt like a bite, and I tried to shake it off. Like I didn't want to drag that thing around. I just listened to music. I think I called.
You have to have somebody take it off the hook for you.
Yeah, I didn't even. I wanted nothing to do with it.
But
I was on a boys' trip, and the guy. I said, I'll go along. It was very relaxing in the middle of the lake. Outside of that, there was bugs, and it was hot, and it was awful.
Okay,
but that's me personally.
I'm with you. I'm in the same boat. All right, Robert.
Well, good luck. I hope you make it okay.
That hit was come
you'll
see,
know.
Come saw.
Yeah, I will show you the video of this thing coming out of this guy.
I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it.
Wait till you
I'm
see
nervous.
The surgeon.
I'm playing it cool, but I'm nervous.
You'll be fine.
I'll be back when I get back.
Got to check to make sure your doctor is going to get to bed early tonight.
I'm hopeful. I'll send him a text.
He's at the brass rail right now. Always going to take him out.
Fishing. Yeah, please avoid my doctor. All right, Bob, we'll see you.
Have a good one, guys.
It's Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider. Jim Popp, GM of the Argos, next. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Thursday night, our Panthers at home to the Eagles. Should be a great game. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050. Watch it on TSN. Prop bet Thursday. Over the number, Carson Wentz, 255.5 total yards passing. Under the number, 20.5 total completions for Cam Newton. Under the number, 5.5 total receptions for Zach Ertz. Throw down 20, you can score 107. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. Argos in Edmonton Saturday night. I haven't checked the line recently. Your Eskies, Noodles, they came out of the gate hot. They have been struggling, well, dude.
Don't say my Eskies because I'm a Torontonian now.
Oh, you're an Argos fan now.
Well, the Eskies are a little come see, come saw.
They are.
That's probably the best way to put it.
Well, I agree.
That's best way to put it.
Average. That's why average the Argos got to go in and beat them down.
Argos
just
still
okay.
Sitting atop the East, and here's their GM, Jim Popp. How you doing, Jim?
Doing okay. How about you guys?
Doing pretty well.
Thank you.
Out of curiosity, I mean, do you ever track what the line is? Do you even care about that kind of stuff when it comes to your team?
I don't. I never pay attention to that at all. So every once in a while you get a glimpse of it, and sometimes you're like, it might be right, or you may be surprised, but I don't usually follow it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I remember talking to Mike Ditka about this years ago, and he just snapped on me because I was like, you got to be tracking the lines when you're a player, right, Mike? And he lost it. He's like, no, I don't care about the line. What do I just care about winning the game. So I guess you have the same mentality, but you said it nicer.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's nothing really that I think most people follow in that are actually playing the game but are a part of it. But obviously there's a lot of people interested in that.
Big game again for you guys in Edmonton. Give us a status update, if you can, on James Wilder Jr.
Well, James will be out this game. He obviously went in through concussion protocol this week. He actually cleared it, but we just felt it was best not to play him. And, you know, his advice of the doctors that we probably should not go ahead and play him, even though he cleared. So, you know, with a handful of games left, and we want him down the stretch, we felt we should keep him out.
How does a player respond to that if he gets cleared? But did you say, hey, you're not playing? Was he consulted? How do you handle that?
Well, at the end of it, the doctors make the call. It's not us. It's not the player. They just felt that, you know, just that being the fact that he was down for a while last week, and even though it was a normal week, it was just best to sit him, and that's the route we went.
With Jim Popp, GM of the Argos, Argos Eskies, Saturday night. A few games left, like you pointed out. Is there anything in particular Mark Trestman has circled that he really wants to see improvement prior to the playoffs?
Well, no, I tell you what, every day, every week, we just try to win the day. You know, we try to get better, and we try to do the right things, and, you know, we're really, I think more than anything, and it's been kind of a battle this year, is being consistent. And, you know, we have up and down moments in the game. We just, the better we get and more consistent we're going to be, we'll have a better chance to come on the right side of that score.
Well, and you guys are still in a position where you can win the East. How does that factor in to the locker room, to the play of your team? I mean, you guys had a chance last week to clinch your first home playoff game. Obviously, you lost, missed opportunity. How often are you guys even talking about the seeding leading up to the playoffs?
Well, I think everybody's aware of it. It's nothing that we talk about. You go into each week just knowing if you take care of your business, you don't have to depend on others, and eventually you will win your division and have the home field advantage. And so, I mean, everybody's very aware we missed an opportunity last week. It makes it harder when you have to go on the road. You know, we can't control what the other teams do. But we do know as of today still that with three games left and there's 4 weeks in the season, we have a bye week, that if we just take care of our own business, then we'll take care of that side of it, of getting home field advantage in a home playoff game.
Mentioned Edmonton again, off to a great start, but recently they've really come back to the pack. How do you guys stack up going into Edmonton Saturday night?
Well, they went through a tough stretch. I mean, they've had a lot of injuries, and that's affected their team. They started getting some players back. They've signed back some NFL guys that they had lost, and now they've come back to their team, and they're just getting back to playing together. But You know, sometimes when you start losing, it's a very fine line, and you have to find a way to win that game. And once you win, then you gain that confidence. But, you know, they're a good team. They're a very good team. I mean, when you start looking at what their talent level is and what they've done and their quarterback. And so, I mean, we're going to have to play one of our best games this year to come out ahead when we come out of there. We've got to play a mistake-free game and you know, and produce touchdowns when we get inside the red zone.
The Argos again in Edmonton Saturday night. You can watch it on TSN like always, sitting atop the East and looking to keep rolling into the playoffs right around the corner. Always appreciate you doing this for us. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you. You guys have a great night.
You too. There he is, Jim Popp, GM of the Argos. Argos in Edmonton taking on Noodles Eskimos.
Noodles Eskimos. So I was on Vancouver radio today, and they said, what happened to your Maple Leafs last night?
Wow, look at you.
And you lost your mind.
No, I corrected them, and I said, I don't, no team is mine. A lot of players I enjoy. Talked about Matthews and talked about Nail Yakupov being on fire.
All of a sudden, racking up points.
3 goals.
But those
Yak. And your other buddy, Dustin Brown, has 3 goals, too. Mm-hmm. Scored 2 last night. So there's some guys on fire right now that were written out of the league.
How are they feeling in Vancouver? Are they still talking about their own team, or
Travis Green? Like I played with him. You know him.
Yeah,
he's got to like just slow it down with the media. He's always trying, like he's trying to be a smartass and a tough guy already. And they'll just rinse him when the team starts playing like garbage. Like,
you know what it's going to be like. It's. I have no problem with it because I think he's just trying to establish like this is how I'm going to be, and. You know, with Dallas Eakins, remember when he went into Edmonton and he started like, well, I'm going to take the donuts out. I'm going to do this and that. Like, it didn't work. For me, be yourself. And if I had to be a coach and I was being interviewed, be honest. And if you keep things tight to the vest, that's how a lot of coaches say lots, but they don't say anything. Like, right. Babcock actually dictates what goes on, which is weird. Like, there's nobody really challenges him in those rooms. Not that you need to, but there's probably times where you want something asked and nobody really does. And that's Mike's built up that credibility to do that. But rookie coaches that kind of got to go through, especially in the Canadian market, kind of go through it.
Well, Brock Besser's playing tonight. So that was a big story for a while.
Like,
new coach, rookie, why isn't he playing? He's going tonight.
Too, yeah.
All right, boys. I'll see you when I see you.
Good luck.
Thank you.
We'll chat then.
Scotty Mack will be in here tomorrow with you guys at 4 p.m.
Hopefully there won't be a big trade.
Well, something big will happen tomorrow.
You think so?
Bank it. All right. We're out of here. You guys are back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We are going to chat then.